On Monday, the Supreme Court ruled that a law denying federal trademark protection to names deemed disparaging is unconstitutional. Justice Samuel Alito wrote in the unanimous decision, quote, "It offends a bedrock First Amendment principle. Speech may not be banned on the ground that it expresses ideas that offend." The suit was brought by Portland dance rock band The Slants, Asian American musicians who've taken their name from an ethnic slur and worn it with pride. They sued because when they tried to register the trademark, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office said, "The Slants? No. I spoke to the founder of The Slants, Simon Tam, exactly 2 years ago when the band had lost an appeal at the Federal Circuit Court. I asked him why they chose that name in the first place.
Honestly, it came from a conversation that I had with a good friend of mine when I first had the idea for starting an all-Asian band. So I said, you know, what's something that you think all Asians have in common? And without skipping a beat, they said slanted eyes. So I thought that's really interesting because not only does it sound like some kind of cool new wave band that Debbie Harry would be in, but it could also kind of be our slant on life, our perspective as Asian Americans, and at the same time, pay homage to decades of work by Asian American activists who've been kind of reclaiming slant in a positive, appropriated manner.
I'm curious why you need to have The Slants be a registered trademark. What's the business purpose behind that?
In addition to the normal benefits like being able to protect your brand and merchandise, in the music industry, it's extremely important because there are licensing agencies and there are record labels who actually refuse to do business with acts who do not have a registered trademark or who do not have a name that can have a registered trademark.
But it turns out that the trademark office isn't exactly hip to the identity politics and the politics of language. They say The Slants is a reference to your Asian roots, that it is a common slur, and therefore against the very explicit rules against disparagement in a trademark.
It shows that they have no actual connection to the Asian American community. We've actually done them a favor by doing independent national surveys and supplying like a 70-page Word document from one of the top linguistics professors in the country explaining the history of the term slant, how even in the 1930s and 40s, at its height of usage, it was never really used as a common slur. Nearly every single major dictionary publisher has actually removed the racial meaning from its list of possible definitions because it really isn't used that way.
Wait. Let me see if I understand this right. You're saying because the word slant is most commonly used to describe a diagonal or bias or any of the other dictionary definitions, that the trademark office's objections are irrelevant?
Yeah, they're kind of off base. They're basing their information off of an assumption, not actual usage.
Dude, I understand what you're saying, but you have explicitly embraced it for its effect as a slur. So, I mean, how can you argue to the trademark office that it's an inoffensive word when its very offensiveness is what put you onto it to begin with?
I would actually use the words of the trademark office themselves. They said intention doesn't matter. The only thing they care about is how the respective market responds to it and whether or not the reference group is actually offended or disparaged by it. And survey after survey, they've shown that the Asian American community overwhelmingly embraces our use of the term.
I grant you that this whole situation has a very catch-22 quality to it. And the trademark office may be a little irony impaired. But their concerns are righteous. What are you proposing, that there be an irony exemption to the disparagement rule?
I don't think it's the place of the trademark office to legislate the dictionary. I don't think they'd have the resources nor the competency to do so. For example, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, they got the green light. They have a registered trademark. But there was a t-shirt company that tried to put out t-shirts called Clearly Queer, and they got denied. It's the same word. What's the difference? One's going to be on a t-shirt and the other's going to be on a TV show. In terms of our particular trademark, the only person that's ever been denied for being disparaging to Asians is me, an actual Asian. And their rationale was that, well, we understand the term slant means so many different things, but They said that when you combine the word slant with our imagery, in other words, photographs of Asians on our website, which, you know, that would be us, that people would automatically associate it with the racial slur. If I fired everybody in my band or replaced them with white people, then I could get a registered trademark.
This is so confounding. Do you think that your situation was exacerbated by the fact that at approximately the same time you are applying for trademark protection for the slants, the Washington Redskins, who are not a Native American organization, are trying to protect their trademark?
With the most recent court order from the Federal Circuit, I think now we're kind of caught up in those particular politics, because the recent order to vacate from the Federal Circuit basically said that we don't care about the nuances of your argument about cultural competency and procedural issues. The only thing they want to talk about is the constitutionality of the Lanham Act, the law that the trademark office is using against us. So in other words, what they're saying is, we just want to use your case to argue about this law, which is really another way of saying, if this law gets appealed, we get to blame this Asian band on the Washington Redskins getting their trademarks back and not the Redskins themselves or this court.
Are you concerned that you are going to win your case and then open a floodgate of slur-based trademarks that are an ongoing nightmare for ethnicities of every stripe?
It's really important to me that the nuances of cultural competency and activism aren't lost in this case. But the trademark, the purpose of it is just to avoid confusion in the marketplace. It's not to say, hey, this mark is more moral than another one. People kind of have this concern. They're like, well, you don't want government backing these kind of groups. But the reality is, if that were the case, then why not support banned books? Or why not get rid of copyright protection for films or books or music that might contain slurs in them? If we're going to be a country of free speech, we actually do need to protect all forms of speech, even if we find them disagreeable. Sorry if you take offense. I'm made of rules and play pretend. You know you fear change. It's something so strange, but nothing's going to get in our way.
Simon Tam is the bassist and founder of The Slants. Tam was interviewed in the New York Times about his legal victory and asked how he reconciles the idea that while this decision is a win for The Slants, it could also help the Washington Redskins and others who are not trying to reclaim terms but are profiting from names that others may find offensive. Here's what he said, quote, "It can't be a win for free speech if some people benefit and others don't. The First Amendment protects speech even that we disagree with. You can't say you want to shut down the conversation for other people, because that doesn't advance progress. No one builds better communities by shutting people out." Thanks for listening to this podcast extra. I'm Bob Garfield. The language of oppression will lose to education until the words can't hurt us again. Sorry if you take offense. Silence will not make a
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.